Today on Real Radio.
Yes, America needs a revival, but listen carefully. A lot of people talking about revival today. I want to say from this pulpit, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen unless among God's people there's a pursuit of holiness.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. It's a collection of lessons about the fundamentals of our faith. Now, one of those essentials is the person of the Holy Spirit and his function, including his work in the life of every true believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit.
But this topic is so vitally important and so necessary at a time like this that if you know anything about me and this church, we are not into playing church. We're into doing church or being the church. And because of that, we don't care if you get the warm and fuzzies on a Sunday morning and then go off and live your life. We would rather have you be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing the Word of God, understanding what it means, and living it, because I, like you, believe that Jesus is coming. And if he doesn't come back for us very soon, soon you and I will go to him just out of old age. And we need to be faithful as believers. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but do take this down in your notes if you would. But there are fundamentals of belief, doctrine regarding Christianity. A lot of young people are not hearing this today. There are fundamentals that you as a Christian must believe to be a Christian. They're non-negotiables. They are what defines Christianity. As we looked in our opening study a few weeks ago, that God, the God of the Bible, is unique from all the other gods of the cults and of the false religions of the world. That the God of the Bible has revealed himself in his Bible to the world. And that we saw that God is eternal. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. And that, listen, he is one God who manifests himself in three persons. He doesn't contradict his existence when he does that. He is God, a singular plurality, which in the Bible tells us in Genesis, Elohim. Elo, God, him, in Hebrew, plural. The singular God who manifests himself in a plurality. It's an absolute awesome mystery, yet it's revealed in the Bible, and we've been given the opportunity to know a little bit about him. But there are essentials that define biblical Christianity, that without these essentials of belief, you're not a Christian. It's plain and simple. Very serious, I know, but true nonetheless. And so now as we get into the fact that God in his plurality, we look to God the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, listen, and that he, the Lord, is a rewarder of them or those who diligently seek him. And church, I pray this morning that you're here today not to do church, but to diligently seek the Lord. And to do that, you've got to do that through and in his Bible. And it's the Bible that unlocks a whole world. I might even say an infinite world of experience biblically based to God. Matthew 28:19. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Remember, God will reward you if you diligently seek him in the singular, yet he manifests himself in the plurality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then finally, by way of introduction, 2 Corinthians 13:14 again says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Paul said to the Corinthians, amen. So this is what we know from last time. All about God the Holy Spirit, we've learned this. Number one, that God the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He's not a force. He's not a power. He's a person. Number two, God the Holy Spirit is in fact the Lord. He is the Lord. We learn that from Acts chapter 5, among other passages. God the Holy Spirit brings us to Christ. You cannot experience salvation without the work of the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is our teacher, says the Bible. He teaches us. Jesus said he will teach us all truth. And fifth, last time, God the Holy Spirit, we learned, can be, and I should add, should be, maybe I'll add, must be, experienced. God the Holy Spirit is to be experienced in your life. So pick it up, Bible students, in your note-taking, mark it down. Number six today, we look at God the Holy Spirit is in fact holy. He is the Holy Spirit. Note the priority of the fact that the Holy Spirit, regarding his connection between heaven and earth, as he ministers to the church and through the world, as far as the church on earth is concerned, the Holy Spirit is the one to whom we cling to at a time like this in our Christian growth. We walk with him. We relate to heaven from earth by the person of the Holy Spirit. When the Bible says that God will never leave us or forsake us, Christian, jot it down. He's referring that that relationship is by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is under orders to never leave you. Somebody say amen. You will never be alone. Are you a Christian today? You will never be alone because of the Holy Spirit. Whether shall I flee from thy presence or go from your person, the psalmist cried. It's impossible. God the Holy Spirit, he is holy. A Christian unfamiliar with the Holy Spirit at work in his life, listen, is a Christian unfamiliar with a sense of revival. I want to believe this morning, yes, America needs a revival, but listen carefully. A lot of people talking about revival today. I want to say from this pulpit, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen unless among God's people there's a pursuit of holiness. God will not revive a church that is bent on aborting babies. God will not revive a church that is bent on being a church of addiction or a church of pornography or a church of whatever. God will not. What is there to revive if the church is carnal? We need the Holy Spirit back in the church today, and evidence of the Holy Spirit's present in the church today and in my life and in your life will be a life of holiness. And now please don't think that I'm painting a picture that we should all dress in black and pull our hair back in a bun and wear no makeup, as it were, and walk around all sad and bummed out, suck on lemons so we look holy. You know what I'm talking about? Or get buggies with really kind of cool looking hats, but get buggies with horses and go around town and we... I'm not talking about that. That's not holiness. Not on the outward, no. Where you and I are transformed on the inside because we've gotten so close to the revelation of God and experiencing God, because that's what the Holy Spirit desires in your life, that the things of this world make us sick. We don't want anything to do with them because we are walking with God. That no longer those things that tempt you or pull you away or a factor any longer. We will be tempted. Every day we're tempted. I was tempted not to get out of the bed this morning. That's rare for me. Usually when my alarm goes off or when I wake up, Lisa gets all upset because I spring out of bed. I see no value of laying in bed pondering the day. I'm up. Now, I may ponder the day walking around my backyard in the dark hours of the morning or sitting in the chair in the dark talking to God, but I got to get up. But this morning, I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to go to church. And the Lord reminded me, but Jack, you're speaking today. You've got to go. We're all tempted, but we obey. And it's the Holy Spirit that we'll see in a moment that gives us the power to obey the Word of God. It's not us. It's Him. And he is holy, and he will lead you and I into holiness. When the church turns and says, oh God, have mercy, we cannot pray that prayer unless the Spirit is at work within us and we see our great need for God. I had a chance this week to travel a great part of this state, and I have forgotten. You know, I've traveled so many places. I'm so sick of seeing the inside of an airplane and airports. I'm sick of it. And I tell you what, I was reminded, ladies and gentlemen, you are still sitting, with no offense to 48 or 49 other states, Hawaii included. You know what? California is an absolute manifestation of the miraculous creative powers of God. I'm telling you, even in the midst of a drought, we're in trouble. California is unbelievably beautiful. Grace by God. But California needs God. And we need the holiness of God back in our lives. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, verse 30, that we as believers need to be more concerned about how God feels than how we feel. In Ephesians 4, 30, the Bible says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." All of this verse is about love. Don't grieve him. You don't grieve people you love. And when you do, you're sick to your stomach and you ask for forgiveness. Do you not? The Bible says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? He's a person and he feels. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying thus saith the Bible. I'm making this part up. Listen carefully. It seems as though God is God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father. They're co-eternal. They're co-perfect. There's not one above the other. But I'm saying to you, it seems as though when God reveals to us the Holy Spirit to our lives, it is the Holy Spirit whom we have to deal with, who seems to be a little bit more holy sensitive than the Father or the Son. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he is. But the Bible says, don't grieve him. Why does it say that? Because he's the one that's working in my life right now, in your life right now, to get you and I into the kingdom of heaven. He's the one that we'll see by the end of this study. We better be careful how we conduct our lives because he is intimately involved with the lost and the saved. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, says the Bible. And if that verse wasn't more powerful enough, then check this out. It's amazing to me. It says there in that verse, Ephesians 4:30, you were sealed by him. I love this. Mark it down. Will you mark it down? If you see somebody not caring to mark it down, then just write it on their arm. This is what the word, listen, the word sealed means this. It means that they were embossed, stamped. To give some of you cowboys in the area a reminder, it means to heat up the branding iron and stamp it into the hide of that animal. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. What does that mean? You've been branded by God, Christian. The Holy Spirit is saying, listen, I'm stuck on you. I've been branded under the commands of your Savior, Jesus Christ, by the power of God the Father. You cried out to Jesus for forgiveness, and I've been sent, and you have been sealed into the day of redemption. I will never leave you or forsake you. So you walk with me, because I tell you what, we're getting up, and we're going to invade this world for Jesus. That's what he's saying to us. And we get up, and we go, and he says to us, don't grieve me now, let's go. Because, listen, if you slip into that bar, if you slip into that joint, if you slip into that porn, if you slip into that drinking binge, if you slip into that bad attitude, I've got to go with you. Think of that. He can't leave you. And so he's there with your attitude. He's there with whatever you're viewing. He's there with whatever you're saying. And when that reality grips your heart, you want to just say with Job, I've made a covenant with my eyes. And walk with him in holiness. God does that. You and I are just to be willing. Listen, you and I cannot make ourselves holy. That's impossible. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation because of its clarity in this verse. When you, I think of me, you think of you. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Paul said, let me tell you again. This is, by the way, I just defined the old Jack, and he just defined the old you. If you did him or not, you thought about him. As I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I wrote in my notes, the new Jack is all about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is liberty and freedom. The Bible says in Isaiah 63:10, we need to be careful. Isaiah 63:10 says regarding the children of Israel that they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. A lot of Christians today, they're saved, they're going to heaven, but they've sinned and they're living in sin, and the Holy Spirit has become their enemy. Their life's not blessed. Seems as though they keep running up against the block wall. Nothing seems to go right. The heavens seem to be as brass and silent. And they're living a life. They've been redeemed, sealed by the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit's grieved. And the Bible says, watch out that he doesn't become your enemy. In Matthew chapter 12, there's a tremendous event, church. In Matthew chapter 12, I'm going to have you look at verse 28 in a moment. Jesus' response to the doctrine of the Pharisees. You need to hang on to your seats here for a moment. The doctrine of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12, they were cursing, resisting, and fighting against Jesus, and they wanted him dead. They were seeking to kill Jesus Christ over and over again. And he had performed miracle after deliverance after deliverance, healing after healing. And in Matthew chapter 12, 28, they have had enough. And so their mouth is running off against the Son of God. And Jesus says to them in verse 28, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. He's just simply answering their observation. Jesus was casting out demons from people. And he says to them, if I'm casting out demons, then regardless of your opinion of me, the kingdom of God is in your presence, everybody. That's what he's saying to them. Amen. Listen, spectator this morning, somebody watching or listening here right now, have you seen God ever work in someone's life and yet you're not a believer? Or have you seen God work in someone's life or you think God has worked in somebody's life but you're resisting him and mocking him? Are you mocking the work of God? Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come near you, if you've observed such a thing. Matthew 12, 31, Jesus says, therefore, I say to you, imagine he's speaking to the Pharisees. I say to you, maybe he pointed at them, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, that's himself, Jesus, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this world or in the world to come. This is the unpardonable sin. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the unpardonable sin. Listen, my friends, I appreciate your zeal, but as sad and as terrible as suicide is, it's not the unpardonable sin according to the Bible. Well, I heard a man use the Lord's name in vain. That's not the unpardonable sin according to the Bible. The unpardonable sin is to adopt the doctrine of the Pharisees that attributed the work of God to Satan. It's an offense to the Holy Spirit. It's to attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to satanic influence or power. The Bible says Jesus died for all sin. But Jesus says, nope, yeah, yes, I did, but there's one sin that cannot be forgiven. And what's the job of the Holy Spirit? We saw last week, to bring you to Christ. And you process that for a moment right now. All those in hell this morning are there because they rejected the work of the Holy Spirit who pointed to Jesus Christ as Savior. Acts 7, verse 51. Stephen said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, as he spoke to the nation of Israel and its leaders. You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Were your parents unbelievers, and that's why you're not a believer? That's not a good answer. And that's certainly no excuse. If you're resisting the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you are stiff-necked. That's serious. You're uncircumcised of your heart. Wow. Your heart is full of, in the faith, spiritual sense, covered with fat, dull, lifeless, dead fat. And the Bible says that needs to be cut away so you can feel again. In John 1, verse 12, Jesus said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." Do you believe in his name? Do you trust his authority? John 3:3, this is what happens when that takes place. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you," and Jesus says it to some of you this morning, "unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Do you see that? Listen, I've talked to people, it's almost on a monthly basis. People will say, "I've been coming to church here. I've been a member of XYZ church all my life, but I've been coming here. I actually go here and I get Bible, and then I go to my church that I was born and raised into. And I've never heard once in my other church that you had to be born again to see the kingdom of heaven." Can you believe that? Jesus himself told the most religious man in all of Israel, "Unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven." And if you resist the Holy Spirit's invitation to be born again, you are committing blasphemy of the Holy Spirit if you die in that condition. Thank God the thief on the cross did not die in that condition. Number 7, what about God the Holy Spirit? God the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He speaks to us. Jesus Christ himself said that it would be the Holy Spirit that would come and speak to us and to the church. That's us. The Word of God. Our daily desire. We want to be guided by the Holy Spirit. John 16, 13. Jesus said, "And he will guide you. He will speak to you. And he will tell you things to come." The Holy Spirit. We need him today, church, like never before. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. We want you to go as many Bible studies as God leads you to go to. But I'm a firm believer in this. Maybe I'm old school. I am old school. What am I talking about? I am. But call me crazy, but I come from a long line of old school people, I guess. I believe, as it were, ascending the mountain and sitting alone with him. "I'm all for getting in your closet," Jesus said, "and shutting the door. I trust the Holy Spirit to use this, the sword of the Spirit, to teach me, to teach you. I expect you." Look, I'm a human. And all the gifts of God given by the Holy Spirit, did you know they were given by an infallible God? They are infallible gifts given to fallible people. That's why, listen, if I say something off, you guys are awesome, by the way. If I quote a verse even correctly but give the wrong reference, you're in John 13:3, and you'll come to me, "It was Matthew 13:3. Thank you. Keep doing that. I am fallible. But listen, God's not fallible. He's infallible. He never makes a mistake. I make mistakes. You and I make mistakes. But listen to this. It is awesome. Listen, if you and I never had one more Bible study, all technology was broken. Oh, God, please send it now. Hey, that's what Jesus, man, taught 2,000 years ago, before internet, before all that stuff. He knew. It's going to be a tough day when technology hits the world. That's tough. Imagine all the stuff going away, and all you have is all you need, and that is the Holy Spirit in you and a Bible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit. It's actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. It's called You Need to Know. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, if you are a regular listener to Real Radio, why don't you take the time to write to Pastor Jack and let him know? More and more Real Radio listeners are sending in emails all the time with words of encouragement like this one. "Pastor Jack, I listen to Real Radio most days and always learn something new. I especially love to listen to you teach Bible prophecy. Thank you, and may your ministry continue to spread the Word of God and bless others." And that one comes from Margaret. Thank you for that, Margaret. Again, just a quick line to tell Pastor Jack if you enjoy and benefit from Real Radio. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and just click Contact Us. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.